Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. New bulletins are out, by the way. See the similarity? You guys can get those and find out what we are doing, what I just read to you. Romans chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 16 through 20. Bible says, this is Paul talking to a church in Rome. That's why they call it Romans, to the church in Rome. Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul talking, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Aren't you happy about that? We call that the good news. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Because in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. If you've got footnotes in your Bible, you'll see Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. I almost preached a whole message on Habakkuk. It's three chapters long. You can read the whole thing in about 15 minutes. I encourage you to do that. Continuing to read here. The righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God. Say wrath of God, please. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, I want to let you know, ladies, that when he says men, he includes men and women. It's just that way of saying everybody. Are you tracking with me, ladies? All right, I just want to let you know that I am talking to you as well as the men today, and Paul is as well, who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since, or again, because, what may be known about God is plain to them. Who? These wicked men. Because God has made it plain to them. And God makes it plain to us. Amen? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Lord, make it plain to us this morning. Help us to understand the message, Lord, that came through your Son, the message that came from the Apostle Paul, the message that floats out of this text this morning in your Word, that we can indeed find freedom from captivity. Lord, help us to understand. Help me to make it plain this morning, Lord. Let the good news go forth, Lord, that there is a righteousness from heaven that is available for us this morning, Lord, that we can rejoice in that if we've got it, and we can get it if we don't. And that's good news. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, well, we went on vacation. We had some mishaps on the way up through Bakersfield, through the Central Valley, where it is 10 million. You know, it's actually an advertisement for hell. That's what the Central Valley in summer is. On the way back, it got up to be 111 degrees outside of Bakersfield. Advertisement for hell. Amen? Hell's going to be hot. Just make the tie there. So anyway, our air conditioner broke on the way up. We drove all the way up through the Central Valley with a busted AC unit in fear and trepidation that the whole car was going to break. But I'll share with you another time. But we worked it out. We got back. And for those of you who've ever bought equipment from the auto parts store, sometimes you have to pay a core charge. That means we're going to charge you extra to get you to bring your part back so that we can rebuild it. So I went to Napa Auto Parts on Thursday or Friday. I went over to Pastor Dave's and helped him pick up his car. And on the way, I dropped off my AC compressor. And I walk in, and there is this incredible sign. I mean, it's a big sign. It is, it's this high. What is that? It's got to be 30 inches high, 24 inches high anyway. And this big. And it's got a picture of PB Blaster, which, I don't know, costs $4 or $5, and you spray it on stuff, and you can do cool stuff. And it says on this, I didn't take an actual picture, this is just the PB Blaster, it says, free. Well, that's a good sign, amen? That's good news, right? And it says, if we don't tell you about this month's special, which is, if you buy one can of PB Blaster, you get the second one for free. And it's this giant, big message right there, right? And I'm talking to the guy, and he's right here. Now, he knows it's there. But he's not looking at it. He's looking at me. And I'm looking at the sign, and I'm looking at him. And we're going through my core charge, and it's $15, and he's got to enter everything in because I bought it in Fresno, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's complicated. And we're talking, and he says, I need your credit card. And I give him the credit card, and he hands me back my slip, and he says, there you go. And I said, that's it. He said, that's it. And I said, we're done here. And he said, we're done. And I said, well, I guess this is mine then. And he looks and he goes, he goes, that's supposed to be for sales, but yeah. Because it had this right in front of the sign. I'm just, mine, that's mine. We're talking about good news. We're talking about the offer of good news. Starting a series in this book of Romans, and it's going to take a little while. It's not going to just be 1 month's series. It might take us all the way, I don't know. It might not take us all the way to Thanksgiving. But it is good. I don't have a title on the bulletin, but I got it up there, Chained. And we start this series on Chained, and we start with a description of the good news of God. And believe me, this morning we need some good news, amen? Amen. And many of us need good news because we're chained. Many of us got the news and we were unchained. Bible says that Jesus said, I have come that you may know the truth, and the truth can set you free. And I'm wondering, are you free this morning? Because if you're free, this series is for you. If you look on the back, there's a new picture. I've got it up there. E1R1. Each one, reach one. Because if you got the message of the gospel, you ought to be able to share that with someone. I got it here. People impacted by Christ should make an impact on the lives of those around them. Our vision is that each person at City Heights Assembly be instrumental. Say instrumental, would you? Instrumental in the salvation of at least one person annually. Now, we run a fiscal calendar here. So we go from January 1st to December 31st. So this year on E1R1, you're starting 8 months back. But the message of gospel, the message of righteousness that's available from heaven, the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross should be a message that is burning in your heart, as much as it was burning Pastor Dave last week, much as burning in me, and that there are people that are around you that are suffering. Amen? Well, that was weak. Because you're thinking, wait, it was September, October, November. Yeah, you got 4 months. To be instrumental in the life of somebody so they make heaven. Amen. That's not bad, amen? Amen? If you don't have it, if you are still chained, there is good news that you can be set free today. Right. A great series for you, a message of salvation that you can be set free from whatever is binding you. And we're going to talk about today that message is everywhere. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Now, this is heavy sledding today, folks. Is anybody here too cold? Anybody here too hot? I'm hoping this AC is on because I'm getting hot up here. I got new lights up here. I just got to check. Oh, it's nice and cool over here in the shade. Wow, yeah, it's cranking. This is as high as it goes. All right, here we go. The message of God is good news. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There is the opportunity and there is a limitation. Everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And we're going to talk about the message of salvation this morning. Good news. There is an opportunity to leave judgment behind. We talk about being saved. And the biggest question that we got to ask is, what are you saved from? You know, I'm saved. Saved from what? Don't really know. Well, what you were saved from is judgment. Let me tell you about it. Revelation chapter 20. Get to the end of the book, right? And it talks about judgment day. Talks about God. Talk about Jesus sitting on a throne and making judgment. This is the Apostle John talking. He was seeing a vision of this judgment. And he says, I saw the dead, great and small. No matter how rich you are, no matter how bad you are, no matter how good you are, there is a judgment day that is coming. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. I want to let you know, salvation comes to the righteous. Because we talk about the good news that there is a righteousness that is available from heaven. And salvation comes to the righteous, and condemnation comes to the unrighteous. See, because you can read this and say, righteousness, smighteousness. Who really cares? Well, the problem with unrighteousness is there's a penalty. Romans 6, same book, 6:23. The wages of sin, unrighteous activity, call it sin. You want to have a debate on that with me later? We can talk. The wages of sin, the wages of unrighteousness is death. See, so when you're saved from this judgment. You are saved from this death. You're saved from this penalty. And it's Paul who was talking, and he says, if I'm lying, let's just party. Let's just have a good time. It says, 1 Corinthians, he's written to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15:32, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But he's not lying. He says, I'm not lying. And God's not lying. And I'm not lying. And we have got a need for some good news. And that good news is that there is a righteousness that is available from heaven for those who believe. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let's kick it on. Verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from heaven is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, and this is at Habakkuk 2:4, this is just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, I got that filled in for you up there. Judgment is avoided by the righteous. Everybody needs some. Because when you're righteous, you get out of the path of judgment. Good news is that you can get that righteousness, enough righteousness, to get out of the way of judgment if you seek it from God. What you have to do is you have to say, God, if you are thinking this morning, right now, I think I am in the path of judgment. I think I would go to judgment day, and when he opens up the books, you look at Bob Metz, oh man, he is not sliding through. Maybe you're not going to slide through. As you are hearing this morning, Bible said that God makes it plain. He might be speaking to your heart and say, you're not making it. You're not making it. You can ask. You can say, Lord, I need your righteousness. That I can be spared. That I can be saved. And that's what you're saved from. The righteous judgment of God. Faith in God gives you that righteousness enough to escape judgment. We're going to uncover this in the coming weeks. If you have not done that before, I'll just give you a sneak peek on the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He led a sinless life. That when he died on the cross, he paid the price for your sin, and that his righteousness, his holiness, would be applied to you and say, Lord, I don't have enough on my own. I need some help. And he says, okay, I came that you might be set free. Amen? Is that good? Amen. When I was remembering, I was trying to come up with a picture that I could get. See, Pastor Dave, this is a little break here. When I was a freshman in high school, anybody remember being a freshman in high school? How bold and happy you felt? You know, walking into that campus, got this big old backpack on, weigh about 10,000 pounds. And you walk around, you don't know where to go, don't know what to do. And it was the first week or two of school, and I was there. And there was a gang of kids. I didn't know his name then, but it was Paul Mathesian. And he was a bad kid. And I'm walking along my 50,000-pound backpack, looking, trying to find my way around. And he comes up with about six of his crew and says, "Him!" You know, and I felt about 1 foot tall at that point. What? You know what I'm talking about? Him, right there. And his second in command, I knew him. And he steps up to my session and says, "No, that kid's on my baseball team." Oh, and they just walked on by. Woo! Woo! That's what Judgment Day will be like when you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. Judgment comes to him. And Jesus walk up and say, "No, Dad, he's with me." We just walk on by. That's good news, amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. All right, let's keep going. Problem. Judgment is pointed right at us. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is something you want to miss. Amen? Wrath of God is something you want to get out of the line of. Wrath of God. Wrath of God. A lot of people say, no. Good and kind and loving God. He's not like that. Well, Paul says, the wrath of God being revealed. Notice that is present tense. Present tense 2,000 years ago, still present tense today. Wrath of God is a personal, say personal.
Personal.
Is a personal manifestation of God's character exacting judgment against sin. That's less than encouraging. That's less than good news this morning, especially if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because kind and loving God does not have wrath. And if there is no wrath, then realistically, I don't have anything to worry about. If there is no wrath, we really don't need salvation. Don't really need salvation, don't really need righteousness. And if I don't need salvation or righteousness, I don't really care about the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless, of course, I got to meet him one day. And he's going to say, "You!" Then I'm worrying. Now, God stands against sin because it messes up everything he does. God stands against sin because it ruins his intent for man. God stands against your sin because it stands against his intent for you. You know, I'm gonna throw Steve under the bus a touch here this morning. I know you'll talk, but because you always do. But Steve is quitting smoking. And Pastor Dave came over last night or the night before, and we were talking about the impact, the power, the message. I said, "Steve, how's it going? You still quitting?" "Oh, yeah, I'm still quitting." And I lean over to his ear, and I said, "Steve, so how come you're quitting?" He said, "Those guys won't let me bring back cigarettes over the border anymore." Now, I'll tell you what, God will use anything to get you moving towards him. Amen? And praise the Lord. Keep it up, Steve. Don't give any cigarettes to Steve, by the way. God's wrath is a personal manifestation of God's character against sin. But wait a minute. That's not fair. Because God is a kind and loving God. But his wrath is targeted at wickedness and godlessness. You go, well, I guess it's okay then. I mean, if God's going to be wrathful at anything, he's going to be wrathful at wickedness and godlessness. Does that make sense? You say, okay, God, I guess you can have a pass on that. Because it's hard to stand up for wickedness and godlessness. Right? I mean, if you're going to have an argument, I'll take the godless and the wicked. Yeah, I'm going to stand up for them against God. No. There's a big problem. We are wicked. The problem is that we are godless without the good news. And that's why we need good news. Sin is our problem. And there are those who would explain away sin. No, no, no. There's no hell, there's no sin, there's no wrath, there's no anything. And because there's no wrath, sin, God, hell, any of that stuff, you really don't, well, actually there is a God, but all he does is make you happy. And because God, his only job is to make you happy, you don't have to worry about judgment, and realistically you can do whatever you want. Paul says there's wrath that's being revealed right now. And that's why we need good news. Let's continue on. Because God's putting out the message. It says in Romans 19 and 20, as it continues on, let me just kind of roll up to that. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. God has made it plain. God has explained it to who? To the wicked men, to the godless men. He has made it plain to them for since, because since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been kind of seen. No. He says, have been clearly seen, being understood. It's not like, I can't get it, I can't get it. No. Being understood from what has been made so that we are without excuse. Because judgment day comes and he says, you. And you say, oh yeah, me. Why? Because you understand, because he makes it plain so that you can understand. Does that make sense? That's kind of hard preaching. I thought somebody might say, amen. No, not anybody there, huh? God wants. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to preach to Sandra the rest of the time. See, God wants us to know him. He wants everybody to know him. Peter tells us the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. He wants everybody to understand, so he has infused every mountain, the sky, the stars, the seashore, with his glory. So that as you see that, you go, wow, there's got to be something more than this. There has got to be something behind this. And you're out in the bush in the Amazon, you grew up in Australia, you got an adequate display of the glory of God. Creation points to the Creator. You can come to know him. Puts his glory in creation to reveal himself to us. He makes it plain. He'll speak to your heart. Good news is not complicated. I have what you need, but you got to come to me to get it. Pretty easy, amen? Amen? I don't know what I need, Lord, but I know you got it, and I want to hook up with you and find out more about you. That's a great starting point, amen? You pray that prayer today, and you will be on the pathway to righteousness and understanding who Christ is. You pray that prayer today, we're going to give you this book. And you can say, Lord, I can read, I can understand. He'll help you read. He'll help you understand. He will put people like Pastor Dave and Pastor Paul, Pastor Scott, all kinds of people, my wonderful wife, who will explain the gospel to you. God has what you need, and you got to ask him for it. Amen? And you line up on him, he lines up on you. And as you line up on him, he's going to tell you things that don't fit in with him. And then you're going to choose whether or not to leave that behind or leave him behind. That is good news. Everybody gets to choose. We need some good news of righteousness from heaven is available. It came clear to me one day. I was walking down the street in Sacramento. Lord, I am so messed up. 20 some odd years ago, I'm giving up trying, Lord. I'll give you my life. You can have it. I have just destroyed it. And right there, my life of faith began. Because right there, I felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. I had no clue. I had no clue what it meant. I knew I was different. I didn't understand the Bible. I've been intoxicated so long, I was hungover, come out of a blackout, didn't hardly remember the night before, didn't drink that day, went to this little tiny church. God met me in that church in an incredibly miraculous way and began to move me through challenge after challenge after challenge. I had to learn, it took me a year to live without drugs, to find out how to not be happy and get high, and be sad and get high, angry and get high, sun's coming up, get high. Takes you a while to figure it out. But when you say, God, you have what I need, and I'm asking you for it, he'll spend the time to put you on the path. Amen. That's good news, amen? And we need some. Glory to God. All right, everyone gets to choose. People got problems with this next section of Scripture here. Romans 1, 21 through 23. For although they, who were talking about those godless and wicked people, talking about people just like us before we got the good news, amen? Amen. And some of us still struggle. That's why we got Celebrate Recovery, Hurts, Habits, and Hang-Ups. You're going to find probably your name on these lists that are going to come up here momentarily. For although they knew God, why? Because God made it plain to them who he was, his eternal power, all that stuff, right? Plain. For although they knew God, they neither glorified. I hope you're glorifying God, by the way. Giving him thanks, because they didn't give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for saving me in Sacramento that day, glory. I got a wife, I got kids, I got you people. I got him in my heart. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Glorify him, give thanks. But their thinking became futile. Say futile, would you? Their foolish, say foolish. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. The bad guys are bad on purpose. Paul tells us that these men made a choice, that they became aware of the glory of God through the revelation of creation by the personal revelation that God made to them, and they chose to go and trade the truth of God for a lie. How many of you have ever been ripped off before? Go, oh, I was lied to. Challenged. Traded the truth of God for a lie. And that trade is a small little thing done way down deep in your soul. No. Say no to God. And it gets bigger. No. And it gets bigger. Until finally, you're lost. You start saying no to God, two things happen. Your thinking becomes futile. Doesn't go anywhere. I am reminded of arguments with teenagers. Sometimes their thinking is rather futile. You can't get anywhere, and there's just circular logic. It just goes round and around and around and around. Oh, yeah. Some of you have talked with teenagers. I have been a teenager. I remember how that was. Bizarre logic seems to make sense. That's what happens when you say no to God. Futile thinking, it won't get you anywhere. Your hearts become darkened. Not just your heart, but your foolish heart. Not going anywhere good like this. This inward manifestation sets up an external transformation. First thing they did, they started worshiping idols. Those are Asherah images where they would worship Asherahs, the Baals. They would worship images of men and birds and animals and reptiles. Turn their backs on the righteousness of God and head in a different direction. And God steps in. Right there. God stepped into your life. Little nose become big nose. Maybe you got some little nose that you are sharing with God. This doesn't stop there. God's not idle. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts, the sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned the natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. God is not idle. The wrath of God is being displayed in the lives of people that were around Paul, that were in that community. God turns them over to sin in their hearts. Notice that it does not say that God gave them sin in their hearts, but he turned them over to that which was already percolating. Why? Because they began to say no to God over and over and over again. No, 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 I'm going to go my own way, I'm going to do my own thing, and I really don't need your righteousness. We're talking about sexual impurity. And that impurity leads to homosexuality. I don't think you can get around that from this text. It is described here as indecent and perverted. But not just homosexuality is indecent and perverted. There's all kinds of vile and disgusting things that people do because they have turned their back on God. And I'm not going to run a list out for you today. All you got to do is look at the news. But it does not stop there. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Angry at anybody? Bitter? How about deception? Strife? Got any strife in your home, in your life? Murder? Envy? Want what the other guy's got? They are gossips. Oh, we hate that word. Like to kind of redefine it. Gossips, slanderers. That means you're lying on some people around you. God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They think a little bit more about themselves than they should. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Now, finally, we got to something good on there. Amen? Senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. And you read this list and it is all over the place. See, it doesn't just stop with sexual debauchery and homosexuality. It just reaches into every facet of our lives. And you say, wait a minute, a good and kind God does not do that. But a good and kind God is not going to allow you in your darkness of your heart to begin to say no to Him and get further and further away from Him and closer and closer and closer to judgment. Why? Because it's not His will that any should perish. It is His will that all should come to repentance and leave behind all of this stuff, that whatever is getting in between you and Him, leave it on the wayside and say, Lord, you've got what I need. Can I have it? And He says, that's the good news. I've got it for you. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. See, we need good news today. We need some help today. You look around and you see a general depravity in our culture, in our lives, in our homes, in our schools. My wife is shamed by the talk at Wilson Middle School. She drops JJ off. Seventh graders. Sixth graders. Why? Because people are suppressing the message of God. A message of righteousness, a message of sin, and a message of wrath. And they say, we can get along without God. And you take a look around, and you see that we really can't. So how are you doing? We see you want to come up and play. Yes or no? What are you telling God? You come in here this morning and you've been, just yes is on your lips to the Lord. You're on the list, man. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is being revealed, a righteousness that lives by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith, and you are encouraged today. There might be a little bit of challenge that came up on some of those lists today. Jesus said, hey, man, you got to come in here. You got to let me wash you off. That's part of the deal. Lord, you got what I need. Can you have it? And He says, come on in. Let me clean you up and send you back out. And the wonderful thing is the Lord can clean wonderfully, and we need to be cleaned over and over and over again. Amen. Good news. We need it. We need a little good news this morning. Maybe you come in here and you are so used to saying no to God. Inside, just start off, no. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to make my own rules. And you will find, we have seen people that start that way, and what happens is God turns you over to whatever is nasty in your heart. Why? So that you can come to an understanding like I did on the street of Sacramento. Lord, I'm so messed up. I've destroyed my life. You can have it. And He took it. And He made me new. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Maybe you got a little. Maybe this week was a supreme trial. And you're thinking this morning, boy, I sure did earn all that trial. I made it myself by saying no to God. And the good news is, He's still got what you need. But you got to ask. Lord, 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 I don't want to say no anymore. I want to say yes to You, to Your will and to Your way. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. Transform me a sinner, Lord. I don't want to be wicked anymore. Lord, I don't want to make my own rules anymore. Lord, give me the book. I'll follow Your rules. Because You got what I need and I want what You got. Good news for you this morning. God's still giving it out. Amen? Lord, I come before You this morning. And Lord, this is complicated stuff we study this morning. And I thank You that You make it plain. You come from heaven. You sit right in this room. And there are those that have become accustomed to saying no. And there is a coldness in their hearts this morning because you make it plain. Lord, I thank you for those that come in and there's a yes and a yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And there is this affirmation that is building in hearts and souls. Encourage it, my son, my daughter. Well done, well done. Continue on. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough. But I'm with you all the way. You're here this morning, and that's not what the Lord is telling you. He's saying, I'm tired of the no's. My wrath, you've been experiencing it. I want you to understand the cost of your choices, because one day it'll be too late. Nobody looking around, and the Lord is speaking right to your heart. And he's saying, I got what you need, but you got to ask. The good news of the gospel is this morning you can ask. And you can say, oh Lord, I am so sorry. You have written this book to me. I don't want to walk out because I don't want to hear your message. But Lord, I need what you got. And I'll leave everything behind if I can get it. With nobody looking around, and the Lord is speaking right to your heart, would you tell him yes this morning? Would you say, oh Lord, that's me. Here I am. I'm not going to say no anymore. I'm going to say yes. I want all that you got. I want a transformed life. Nobody looking around. If that's you, just, man, I see all these hands up. I didn't even say that. You're here this morning. You want that? Just slide your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. You know what? I just want you to just stand up where you're at. Just only if you put your hand up. Put your hand up. Stand up. Put both your hands up in the air and say, Lord, oh Lord, I turn from saying no, Lord. I turn from that wickedness. I turn from that evilness, Lord. And Lord, I do not want to suppress your truth in my life, Lord. I don't want to suppress that truth, your truth in anybody else's life around me, Lord. I want to be a beacon, Lord. I can reach one for you, Lord, but I have to have a transformed life right now, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit come into me and transform me, a sinner, Lord, that I can have your righteousness, Lord, that on judgment day I won't hear you, I'll hear you're with me. Lord, I want to walk through judgment day, Lord. I want to grab onto the hem of your cloak, Lord. I want to slide by because you are my King. You are my Savior. You have set me free, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. The worship team is going to come. We're going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing, but it's going to be a good song. You want that? I invite you to just come up and kneel. And we're going to see what the Lord would do. Amen. You want that? You've been praying. You've been asking. Just come on up and kneel. And where's Mike? There's Mike. There we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing.